こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語で、バイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。1個目、2016年のアメリカ大統領選挙でトランプ陣営が雇っていたコンサルティング会社ケンブリッジアナリティカが5000万人もの Facebook ユーザーの個人情報を収集し、無断で選挙活動に利用していた上、Facebook はこの事実を2015年から認知していたとニューヨークタイムズが報じました。これはケンブリッジアナリティカで働いていたクリストファー・ワイリー氏からの内部告発で明らかになったものです。ワイリー氏によると、同社の取締役で、後にトランプ政権の首席戦略官を務めたスティーブ・バノン氏の指揮のもと、100万ドルの予算を個人情報収集に充て、集めた個人情報を世論操作のために活用したとのことです。
Data consulting firm Cambridge Analytica, which was hired by Trump's presidential campaign for the 2016 election, used the personal data of 50 million Facebook users acquired without their permission for political campaigning. According to the New York Times, Facebook has been aware of this since 2015. This information was expanded upon by whistleblower Christopher Wiley, who previously worked for Cambridge Analytica. According to Wiley, Steve Bannon, who worked as Trump's head strategist, directed $1 million towards mining personal data for the purpose of influencing public opinion.
Yeah, so Steve Bannon がこの会社の大株主なんだよね。
うん。
そもそも。そう。で、まあ、情報収集したこと自体は、Facebook のポリシーに反してはいないんだけれども、その情報を、ユーザーエクスペリエンス以外のところで使ったっていう意味で、うん、Facebook の規約に違反してる。
So it wasn't Cambridge Analytica, but rather this company that provided the information to Cambridge Analytica? The Facebook app that provided the user information?
The app was developed together by Cambridge Analytica and University of Cambridge.
The Facebook app, the personality app?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, だから
この I'm not sure that's true though.
Because it said like Christopher Wiley と、そのケンブリッジ大学でこの心理テストを開発した人は一緒に働いてた。
The person that founded the company, what was the name of the company that developed the Facebook app? Because it's just a personality test. There's no development of the app. It's just a personality test. It's like it's the ocean, right?
Right. So, そのアプリを、使った人の情報を収集すること と、それを使っテストをやった人の友人の情報を収集すること自体は問題ないんだよね、
うん、
ただその情報を政治的に活用したっていうのがダメっていう話。
Well, the creator of the app that was used to that originally retrieved obtained the datafrom Facebook users. The creator of that company is saying that he's being made out as he's a scapegoat for this whole thing.
Ah, right, right. There's another, there's another right? company, yeah. But they all work together.
I don't think they necessarily work together. It's any of these apps, this has been going on for a long time, where these Facebook applications obtain a lot of user data, and then they've been selling that data to other companies.
Right.
And...I mean, it's not necessarily conspiracy. That's how business has been done on Facebook for quite some time.
Yeah, ただその Facebook の規約では、そのアプリのユーザーエクスペリエンス以外でその情報を使っちゃいけないわけだから、そもそも横流ししてる時点で、
Yeah, so a lot of these Facebook apps have been violating that policy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. そうで、もともと27万人がこの心理テストをやったんだけども、その27万人の友人の情報にも全部アクセスできるから、それを合計すると5000万人になっちゃったっていうことで、その心理テストの結果ももらってるんだよね。だから心理テストでこう、私は外交的です内向的ですとか、まあ、そういう自分の情報に Facebook 内で何にLikeしてるとか、そういう情報もクロスして分析すると、まあ、その人の政治的思考みたいなものがかなりの精度で分かっちゃう、
うん、
っていうのはまあずっと言われていて、それをまさにやってたっていうことなんだけど、
well, they've been doing that for quite some time in US presidential elections at least. Do you remember Optimizely? So Obama's campaign was based on big data analytics largely. And that was Optimizely, and it's pretty much the same premise as what was going on here. And Hillary Clinton and the DNC had their own big data analytics campaign. They had an advanced algorithm called AVA, and there was a lot of hype behind that. And that was a large part of people's confidence. Her winning was their confidence in that algorithm. So there hasn't been a campaign that hasn't engaged in this and hasn't engaged in this kind of what we're now starting to feel is manipulative.
そう、まあ、ただその5000万人っていうのは Facebook のこれまでの流出の中で一番大きいんだよね。で、まあ、だからすごいニュースにもなっていて、しかも土曜日にこれが出て5日間何もこう声明を出さずに、今日になってやっとまあザッカーバーグがこれからちょっと規約をもうちょっと厳しくしますみたいなコメントを出してたんだけども、まあ、それもちょっと時間かかったっていうところで、まあ、批判されていて、あとそもそも
What do you think of his comments? His statement?
What do I think of it?
Yeah, his response to this whole controversy.
まあこうやって言うしかないでしょうねっていう感じ
Yeah.
他に言うことないでしょうって、
Well, I think he could have been a little bit more sympathetic to people's complaints about this.
理想を言うとね、てかそもそもなんで5日もかかってんのかっていうのもちょっと。
Cambridge Analytica has been in the news for quite some time now.
そう、あの、そう、そもそも Cambridge Analytica 自体が、まあ、いろいろ危ないことをしてるっていうのは、何年も前からニュースにもなってたし、チャンネル4の、あの、アンダーカバーの取材、あのクライアントのふりをしてケンブリッジアナリティカの人にピッチさせてる、あの ところを盗撮してる様子はもうずっと何年も前からあのネットに上がってて、そこで例えば敵対勢力の弱みをいかにしてこっそり収集するかとか、ハニートラップを仕掛けて、まあ、女を使ってとか、あと賄賂を渡して受け取ったところをこっそり撮影しておいて、それをネットに上げて評判を落とすとかっていうのを、まあ、散々うちの会社やってきてるんですよって自慢してるところが、まあ、動画として残っちゃってるから。
If you look at the websites of any of these big data companies, they kind of advertise the psychological warfare aspect of what they're doing. And they're not very, you know, it's this win mentality, like at all costs.
Yeah.
You know, the end justifies the means.
そう、基本的にこういうコンサルティング会社っていうのは、まあ、私もその選挙とかやってるコンサルティング会社にいたこともあるし、ただこう会社によって本当にそこのモラルを守ろうとする会社と、もう何でもやりますっていうところで分かれていて、
well, You're gonna lose if you do it morally, straight up.
だからその
you're gonna lose and that company.
だからそもそもそういうクライアントは取らないっていう方針があるわけじゃん。だからで確かにこう持ちかけられる案件として、あこれはちょっと触らない方がいいなっていうのあるわけよ。でそういう普通のところは
it's self-interest even in that case too, right? You know, that's do you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.だから普通は断るんだけど、そういう案件でも何でも受けるところは受けるわけじゃん、こういうケンブリッジアナリティカみたいに、でもどんな汚い手を使ってでもクライアントを助けますよっていう、だからまあそういう会社があるはあるだろうなと思うけど、
So what do you, who do you think is bad here? And how bad? There's the
well,
Facebook app companyWhich violated that policy, some, you know, clause and some buried in some document. And there's Cambridge Analytica, which basically is doing what all these big data analytics companies are doing, and potentially a little bit more, although we don't have evidence for that yet. And there's Facebook, right?
Right.
Which has facilitated this as a widespread and now systemic problem to political processes and epistemology. So,
まあ悪いっていうよりも、いい悪いの問題っていうよりも、まあこういうのが起きるっていうのは、Facebookみたいなサービスがある時点でもう避けられないじゃん。
Right.
Facebook みたいな、まずこのプラットフォームがあって何千万人分の個人情報をゲットできる状態が存在した上で、結局ケンブリッジアナリティカみたいな何でもやる会社は絶対に、お金のために何でもやる会社は絶対にあるし、それを利用しようっていう政治家ももちろんいるわけだから、なんていうの、その、いい悪いっていうか、まあそうなるよねっていう感じ。ただその使われたユーザー側からすると、さ、
To me, it seems like most people are mostly upset at Facebook more than anything else. And they're very critical. I mean, people are calling out on social media to everyone should close their Facebook, that we should boycott Facebook, that Zuckerberg is an evil robot.
多分それの背景はだから2015年にこの事態を把握していたにもかかわらず何もしなかった。もう今2018年だから。だからこの3年間。Well, they did. I mean,
Zuckerberg said that they've been making significant change. I mean, in his response, right?
Yeah, but like, それを公表してもよかったわけじゃん。こういうことがありましたよっていうこと自体を。ただこれが内部告発によって明らかになってしまったから、 批判を浴びてるっていうわけでさ。うん。まあ、だから私個人的には別にFacebookが元凶であるとは思わないし、まあFacebookを使ってる時点である程度、まあ個人情報をオープンにしてるっていうリスク分かった上でみんな使ってるわけじゃん。It
just seems like when you have so many of these Facebook applications running on everyone's thing, obtaining quite specific data, and so it's not just we're worried about this one app selling data or giving data away.
Yeah.
There's many. And not only is this data now located in some potentially insecure place, but once it is out, it's out. You know, you can't really delete it. I mean, they can send a, when there's that kind of contractual violation, what is it, like clawing back or something, they ask you to, you know, delete stuff that you weren't supposed to receive or something, right? The internet has made that kind that concept a joke, you know. It doesn't work that way anymore. And so, from practically speaking, I feel like the only thing you can do is just avoid giving any of that information to Facebook and more specifically these apps in the first place. Beyond that, I mean, how much can Facebook really do to mitigate this problem if you want a service and you're willing to give this service your data?
Yeah. So, ne. Ato, sono, yappari, muzukashii no wa Facebook tte hajimeru no mo sugoi kantan dashi, tsukuru no mo sugoi kantan nan da kedo mo.
It's free.
De, so, muryou dashi. Tada, sono, literacy wo sono user ga motteru ka mottenai ka tteiu no wa, ma, Facebook ni totte wa mochiron shita go janai shi. だからこう設定から例えば今このアプリとあなたは情報をシェアしていますよとか見れるし、簡単にリムーブもできるんだよね。あとそのパーソナライズアッツに関してもオフにもできる。いや、本当はね。ただそれをだからどこまでの人がちゃんと自分でコントロールしてとか自分がそれをオフにできることをそもそも知ってるかどうかとかってなると、それはまた別の問題で。Well,
also, I mean, do we want? I mean, all businesses want information about their customers so that they can target advertising. And so the way that you would choose certain states to campaign in, you're kind of selectively giving a different message, right? And that breaks up into smaller and smaller units until you have information about individual people, right? And then you have a tailored message for those people. And that is going to maximize conversion. And conversion is the holy grail of of marketing. It's the whole point. And do you want to be showing people ads that they are not likely to respond to? No, we all hate that. If we're shown an ad that's irrelevant to us, you know, if someone's trying to sell me some women's products or something, I'm like, why am I seeing this ad? It's not really that relevant to me, right? It's wasting my time. But if they show me something that is relevant to me, that is accurate to who I am, isn't that a better use of our time? And so there's kind of from a market information standpoint, it's hard to argue against this use of big data and analytics. You know, all companies, advertising is manipulation, period. We don't have ads, we don't have sponsorships, and part of it is because I believe that advertising, marketing is manipulation. You're trying to manipulate people's behavior, and that line is very blurry, you know, what you're telling people to produce a certain produce a certain result. There are deep moral questions about this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about that? The enterprise in general of marketing, of supposedly, you know, we want to improve market information and we want to get the right people the right messages. You know, Cambridge Analytica is clearly good at doing this.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, can you be so good at doing that that it begins to rob us of our sense of autonomy, you know, our sense of free will, you know, because we're all looking at different things.
それ自体はもう別に今始まったことじゃないんだけども、その規模がどんどん大きくなってるから、規模が大きくなってるし、そのパーソナライズの精度もすごい上がってるから、まあ消費者の人が気持ち悪いなって思うのは当然だろうなと思うし、まあ自分がこうその業界にいたからこそ、まあ自分がやってたことを振り返ってもそうだし、今やってるプロジェクト見てもそうだけど、まあなんだろうね、
If you're not manipulating, you suck.
Straightforward ではないんだよね、とにかく。でもそういうものだ、マーケティングってそういうものってなってるから、みんな何も疑問に思わずやってるし、まあ、受け取る消費者もほとんど常に疑問には特に思わないで生きてるけど、よくよく考えると本当にまあまあ嘘まみれというかさ、まあそういうものじゃん。
It is. You know, this electric shaver is not a transforming robot thing that with lasers and all this crazy. You know, all of these things are deceptive, and they leave impressions on us that we cannot ourselves quantify and be aware of, and that's where it becomes manipulative. I think there's something worse going on here than that, even. And we've talked about this before, but reality is balkanizing. You know, when everyone has a different feed of information, everyone perceives increasingly different realities. And so human beings are differentiated from each other with our ego, right? And based on that differentiation, we have this feedback loop engineered where we have content that we will respond to, you know, in the way that we're differentiated, and to the extent that we're differentiated, we'll receive differentiated content, and it'll establish that feedback loop. And that's where this balkanization tends, you know, starts to get worse.
Yeah. 次。ヨーロッパからアメリカに進出した会員制出会い系アプリインナーサークルでは、会員の質を保つために参加者は最低3つのソーシャルネットワークアカウントの提出を求められるほか、礼儀正しいかどうかを審査されます。審査に合格し会員になると、子供を持つ女性スタッフからプロフィールをチェックしてもらえるほか、なぜメッセージに返事が来ないのか、なぜ会話が続かないのか、なぜ振られてしまったのかなど相談に乗ってもらうこともできます。
A membership-based dating app called Inner Circle, which recently expanded to the US from Europe, is screening its applicants' social media accounts in order to maintain, maintain the quality of its members. It requires applicants to submit at least 3 social media accounts. If an applicant passes review, their profile will be reviewed by a mother who will attempt to help them find partners and discuss why, for example, someone did not respond, why a conversation failed, or why they were dumped.
Yeah, my mother, っていうか、そうね。Yeah, women with kids. まあ基本的に若者の恋愛の相談とか質問って若者が答える傾向にあるじゃん。まあツイッターとかもちろんそうだし。ただこう若者にはなかなかお互い同士だとなかなか見えないことっていうのもあるから、もう年上でもう何恋愛もいろいろしてきた人からアドバイスをもらうことで客観的に自分を見れるっていうことらしいんだけど、そのもっとこうしなさいとかっていうよりかは励まして自信をつけさせてあげるっていうのがゴールらしいよ。ちょっと可愛くない？
Do you think fathers would be effective at this sort of thing or not as much or？
ね、どうなんだろうね。多分あの出会い系アプリで結局その男性がいきなりこうチンコの写真送ってくるとかっていうのはすごい多いわけじゃん。まあ Tinder とか、まあ Facebook もそうだけど、だからそういう、あと急にもうやりませんかみたいな、もう挨拶もせずにさ言う人とかいるから、まあそういう失礼な、まあ女性もなんだけど失礼な男性もちゃんといない風にしたいっていうのがあって、まあそれもあって女性なのかなと思うけどね。まああと例えば子供いる女性の雇用支援とか、そういうのも兼ねてるのかもしれないけど。
Do you think is it mostly women using this or men using this service or?
あ、このアプリのユーザー自体は男女ともに普通に。
It's not more popular among one or another?
I don't think so. わかんないけど。でもこの最低3つのソーシャルネットワークアカウントの提出っていうのも結構すごいよね。なんか怪しい人じゃないか。
Do most people have 3?
ね、なんか Twitter と Facebook とLinkedIn
really?
とか、まあ、Snapchat とか、まあ、インスタもあるか、まあ、結構、まあ、あるね。3つはあるね。
I don't know if I'd want to do that though. That's kind of weird. See, now we're getting into the data leak territory where you've got a bunch of moms passing around your, your social media information.
まあね、ただこう変な人を避けるっていう意味では、まあいいんじゃない？会員制ってもともと言ってるから。
I think people generally in our generation underestimate the value of advice from older people. Like there's a lot of kind of discounting what old people have to say, you know, kind of impulsively. And for some topics, that's clearly the right move, you know, technology, for example. But on a lot of other subjects, especially human interaction, you know, experience matters a lot more, you know, than having a nimble brain.
そうね。まあね。
Like, what are the things you should ask old people about where, you know, specific topics?
I don't know. あんまり、まあ私もともとあんまり相談しないんだよね、人に。
I'm including you in what I'm saying.
あんま想像できないけど、どうかね。でもこう、まあ、私は結婚してるし、あのギリギリこう Tinder とかが出てきたぐらいの時にはもう今の夫に会っちゃってたから、全然こう使った経験がないんだけど、まあ、友達とかで使ってる人結構いっぱいいて、あの女の子のユーザーは女の子のユーザーで、まあ、もちろんそういう急にチンコの写真送られてくるとか、まあね、レイプされないかとかもちろんいろいろ怖いことあるんだけど、男性は男性ですごい大変なんだよね。なんか桜とかさ、桜の女の子とかも結構いて、だから可愛すぎると逆に怪しいとか、なんかお金もらってやってんじゃないかとか、なんか物を売りつけてくる Well, なんか勧誘してきたりとかそういうのもあって。
It's kind of a cliche, but most guys on Tinder want to meet girls who aren't on Tinder.
What do you mean?
Like most guys feel like they don't want to meet people who are on dating apps, and I think a lot of girls feel that way too, right? You know, like you don't.
でも今そんなことないんじゃないの別に。もうだってしょうがないじゃん。
Is it though?
出会えないから。
I know a lot of people think it's しょうがない。
I feel like you could say the same thing with like meeting someone at a club.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I would say that too.
Like I met my husband at a party.
Yeah.
In a club.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like.しょうがない。
Well, it doesn't apply to individual cases, but generally speaking, if you want a long-term relationship, Tinder may not be the best sample, and neither would a club, and neither would a lot of other places too, you know. And so I think there's skepticism going in and kind of a bad premise that a lot of guys have with Tinder. They're like, I'm not going to marry this chick. So they kind of go in with like this half commitment,shitty premise. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm not trying to make a judgment about people on Tinder.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying the premise is not as...
I know what you mean.
If you pick up the handkerchief and give it to the girl, it's like, okay, well, this could actually be like legit. We didn't start on Tinder.
I know what you mean, but at the same time, like, それはなんか30代メンタリティっていうか、なんか若い人はそ、なんか私知り合いで2組 Tinder で会って結婚したんだよね、
うん、
だからこうなんだろう確かに昔のかなんか出会い系の感覚で言うと、うん、もうなんか遊びか変な人みたいなさイメージだったじゃん、まあ、ちらが若い時はむしろ出会い系すごい危なかったから、
yeah.
ただ今なんか結構意外とだから普通にちゃんとした恋愛に発展して結婚してる人もいるから、う
ん、Yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot ofsuccess stories with dating apps. But I think one of the major obstacles is this perception, more than the reality, but kind of the perception.
そうだからこのプロフィール写真をこのマームたちがチェックしてくれるとかっていうのも、うん、結局バーで出会って喋ってたりとかすれば、まあ、いろんな要素からその人の印象っていうのを得られるわけだけど、もうプロフィール写真のみ一発勝負みたいになっちゃうと、それはやっぱりちょっと客観的に見て、あ、ちょっとこの写真じゃない方がいいかもとか、これだと顔がちょっとよくわかんないから違うのにすればとか、いうアドバイスは必要かもしれないよね。
Could this eventually take us back to like arranged marriages, where it's like your parents just know best and you know, let them just sort it out?
いや、ないでしょうね。
Quit messing around on Tinder.
お見合いより Tinder の方がまだ。マシって言ったらだけど、なんかまだチャンスありそうじゃない？
I don't know.
ただ友達が Tinder やってて思うのは、パーティーで出会った場合、あ、この人ちょっと違うなって5分喋って思ったら、もうちょっと飲み物取りに行くねとかって離れられるじゃん、
うん、
でも Tinder だとそういうわけにいかないんだよね。もう待ち合わせしてご飯食べに行くってなったら、もう5分10分では帰れないじゃん。あ、違うなってお互い思っても、結局ディナー終わるまでは、right.
Wait, but most of the time, you don't even have to meet them. You thoroughly vet them through text.
Yeah, but like I'm talking about like after vetting.
Right, but if you meet someone at a party, you can't even do that at all. They're just there, and they may just immediately harass you.
Yeah, but like it's a personal interaction. そのベリングって言ってもさ、まあちょっとメッセージやり取りして、ただ猫かぶってるかもしれないし、なんかよくわかんないじゃん。その人の喋り方もよくわかんないし。なんかテキストだとやっぱ返事するのに時間かけられるからとかさ、だからそれ結構大変そうだなって思った、
hmm.
で特になんか、まあ、友達男の子だけど、おごらないといけないとかもあるじゃん、まあ、いけないわけじゃないけど、まあ、彼は自分がおごってあげたい、そうするとこうおごってあげてんだけど、もう5分ぐらいで、あ、違うなって思ってもさ、その場はお金もかかるみたいな。
That's fine.
だからなかなかそれを繰り返してもいい人が現れないと、なんか何やってんだろうなっていう気持ちになるって言ってて、まあそれはそうだろうねっていう。
Mm. I just, I'm still thinking about, you know, do we need our dating to be manipulated by algorithms? No. Because it's real, you know, the matching on a lot of these dating things is kind of, we look at this profile and we, you know, we analyze different personality traits. We could do the oceans thing again, the big five, and analyze different personality traits and match people up based on that, you know, your political affiliation or your type, your preferences in terms of mates can also be quantified.
あと昨日ちょうどテレビでなんか未婚の女性が好きなディズニー映画ランキングみたいな。でそれ未婚の女性だけじゃなくていろんな人に聞いてるの、なんか保育士とか、
okay.
ゲイの人とか、でそのまあみんななんかライオンキングとかなんだけど、その未婚の女性は1位がシンデレラで2位が、アラジンで3位がリトルマーメイドなんだよね、だからみんなこうなんかなんていうの、待ってたらなんか男性が来てもう自分の人生が一変するみたいな。
You think it's that influential? I mean, there was some documentary about that, about how the cartoons we grew up on shaped our psychology.
いや絶対あると思う。だってシンデレラが
It's not even about algorithms, it's Disney now.
だってシンデレラが1位っていうのは結構やばいと思った。だってシンデレラが一番なんか、まあ眠れる森の美女もそうだけど、こう一番やばいやつじゃん。なんていうの、あのディズニーの中でも、要はその見た目だけで金持ちの男に選ばれるみたいなさ。
They're all really crazy though. How can you say that one's the craziest?
結局シンデレラってすごい苦労してるんだけど、その苦労は別に王子様知らなくて、ただ単に一回会って美人だったから追い求めてるだけなわけじゃん。でなんかこうシンデレラ自身も王子様のことよく知らないんだけど、とにかく王子様だからもういいやみたいな感じでお互い、まあ、結婚するわけじゃん。だからなんかこう現実的かどうかで言うと一番なんか、
Do you think these stories really shape us like that? Like, what about a story like, 浦島太郎 or something, where it almost feels like it's like this guy gets enticed by this princess under the ocean, right? And he like stays there for too long and forgets about his family.And so it kind of imprints values into you, you know, call your parents before they die or something, right?
まあ、浦島太郎ちょっと特殊すぎてあれだけど、まあ、そうね。
No?
あれは結構だってなんかせっかく亀助けたのに最終的にはパニッシュされるっていうのがちょっと、じゃあ助けなきゃよかったみたいな感じじゃん。
Yeah, because it's...He should have been paying attention to his family, right?
No, because the point of the story is that in his mind, he was only there for like a couple of days. He didn't think that he was spending that much time.
But that's what happens when you go hang out with some super hot chick under the ocean.
だからやっぱり punish されてるじゃん。かわいそうじゃん。
That's a metaphor for how it actually works. You go meet up with some chick, and then before you know it, like 10 years have gone by, and you're living in Bolivia or something, yeah, or some faraway town. But the point is, like, your home deteriorated while you were out partying.
Yeah,
right?
そうね。いやもうみんな死んでるからね、あれは。
Yeah, it's kind of like the prodigal son or something. I guess it's a bit different, but.
まあいいや。次、米国科学アカデミー企業に掲載されたオハイオ州立大学の研究で、人は相手の顔の血色の変化だけで相手の感情を読み取れていることが分かりました。研究ではまず人が感情をあらわにしているとき、鼻や頬などの血色が変わっており、年齢や人種を問わずそのパターンが同じであることを発見しました。そこで嬉しい、悲しい、驚きながらも喜んでいる、悲しみながら怒っているなど18の感情で見られる顔の血色を 無表情の人の写真の上から色だけで表現し、被験者20人にそれぞれ感情を当ててもらいました。すると幸せを表している際は 70%、 悲しみでは 75%、 怒りでは 65% の確率で正解しており、筋肉の動きがなくても血色だけで感情を読み取れていました。また喜んでいる人の写真に怒っている人の血色を載せるなど感情をミックスすると、被験者は理由はわからないが違和感があると気づいていました。この情報を利用して人工知能に同じことをさせると、幸せな表情では 90%、 悲しみは 75%、 怒りは 80% と人間より正解率が高くなっていました。
According to a study by Ohio State University and published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, humans can recognize emotions in another person by looking at the color changes caused by blood flow in their face. The study confirmed that the color changes that occur in the face as a result of emotional changes are consistent regardless of age and race. In the study, the researchers took an emotionless facial expression and overlaid the color changes that occur with emotions, like joy, sadness, pleasant surprise, and fearfully disgusted, for a total of 18 unique blood flow patterns. The faces with overlaid emotional blood flow patterns were then shown to 20 study participants who guessed which emotion the blood flow was expressing. The participants were able to guess correctly for happiness 70% of the time, sadness 75% of the time, and anger 65% of the time, showing that humans can perceive emotional expression in the absence of any muscular change. Furthermore, when the blood flow pattern for anger was placed on a picture of a happy face, respondents said it made them feel uneasy, although they were unsure why. The researchers had an artificial intelligence perform the same task. It guessed happiness with 90% accuracy, sadness with 75% accuracy, and anger with 80% accuracy, having an overall accuracy higher than humans.
そう、なんか例えば不快感、disgust の時は口の周りが青っぽくなって、鼻とおでこ周りが赤くなるとかっていうのがあって、それはこう本当に人種とか肌の色とか関係なく、みんな人間は共通してるパターンがあるらしくて、まあそれでこの実験ができたんだけど、面白いよね。だからこう本当に無表情の写真なんだけど、色を追加するとそれだけでなんとなくこうかなって当てられる。
It's interesting that we don't quite know what we're seeing, because that's something that your brain is processing subconsciously.
そうそう。
You're not really aware of blood flow changes that correlate to facial expression,
そう、
right?
だから多分普段意識して相手の顔の色を見てる人っていないと思うんだけど、まあ無意識にみんなこれをやってるっぽいっていう。で、他の猿とかと違って人間は顔に毛がないから、よりこう感情が人にバレてるというか、見えてる。で、皮膚の表面近くに血管がここまで密集してるのって顔しかないんだって。なんかそこに毛がないことによって、まあ何かしらの進化的アドバンテージがあったのかねみたいな話も書いてあったし、こうメイクでほっぺ赤くしたりとかするじゃん。それも今まではこう若く見せたいからとか綺麗に見せたいとかだけって言われてたけど、まあこれを踏まえると、あのハッピーに見せたいとか、そういうこう色で調整してるのかもねっていう。
I'm sure some cosmetics companies would love to get their hands on this data. You know?
そうね、そう、結構面白いなと思った。でもちろんだから人工知能はこういうの得意じゃん、パターン化されてさえすれば、で人間だと多分その顔写真は無表情だから、ちょっとこうこれで合ってんのかなとかさ、無表情の部分に引きずられたりするけど、人工知能はそれがないから、多分人間よりうまくできる。
This reminds me of octopi, and that octopi are capable ofcommunicating with each other by changing the patterns on their skin. And so they're exchanging information by changing their blood flow and I don't know how they control the camouflaging stuff, but but they can visually represent meaning in some sense, and figure out if they want to have baby octopi with this other octopus or not. You know, there's complex stuff going on there that we don't quite understand. But apparently human beings are doing the exact same thing in reading blood flow in their faces.
So, なんか、と、そうね。だから意識してないっていうのは面白いよね。こう勝手にやってるけど自分では気づいてないっていう。
Yeah, and that it's visual. That it's visual information. That, yeah, subliminal visual information. I mean, I think there's a lot of things. I mean, body language is largely that way, right? When we see someone's body language. I think body language is... There's so much meaning embedded in it. You couldn't really quantify it though, right?
It just looks a certain way. 表情で言うとさ、猫ってまあ犬とかに比べるとずっと無表情みたいな。何考えてるか分からないってよく言われるけど、まあ一緒に暮らしてると、まあ顔にいろいろ出てるわけよ。まあなんか臭いというか酸っぱい匂い嗅いだ時とか、まあリラックスしてる時とか、ちょっとにっこりって人間みたいなにっこりじゃない。犬は人間みたいににっこりするじゃん。だからそういう人間みたいなにっこりじゃないけど、猫なりのにっこり顔があってにっこり顔してる時あるんだけど、なんか最近よく思うのが、なんか人間の顔になってる時があるの。なんかわかる。そう、なんかあれ、なんかティガー今人間の顔になってるみたいな。
Yeah, people say that about their dogs a lot too. Or there are specific dogs that look alarmingly human.
そう、なんかたまにね、人間の顔になってるって思う時があるね。
It's the eyes, right? You know, it's like those what are those little monkeys?
Yeah.
What are the little ones that they have with wrinkled foreheads, red faces?
え、何？普通の猿のこと？
Yeah, but the really small one. Right, the really small sada has the most ningenpoi face,
right?
More than the bigger sada, I feel like. Do you know what I mean?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. It's like the finger monkeys and all those little, what are those things called? Marmoset?
Marmosetto.
Yeah, like their faces. You know, it looks like an old man or something. And you look into their eyes, and they have eyes just like us. You know, its eye is smaller than a blueberry.
Yeah.
But it's just like our eye. You're looking at it, and it's looking at you, and it's just like...
Yeah.
Kind of...
そうね。いや、なんか猿はさ、もともと人間にちょっと似てるっていうか、同じさ、種類だからさ。
It's not as cool as...
なんかわかるじゃん。
But these monkeys are like... 4 inches tall. That's why it's a trip to me. Right?
Because of the size difference?
Yeah.
I just didn't really expect, like, felines to have a human face occasionally.
But how much of that is
And I can't explain it, but sometimes they do have this, like, human face. And it's just my cats, right? Like, I don't see it with, like, 野良猫とか.
And it's probably just you, right? I think this phenomenon is mostly in the perceiver, if I'm being frank.
多分ね。だから夫に言うときあるの。あ、見て見てみたいな。見て今なんか手が人間の顔になってるみたいな。And he's always like, okay, みたいな。なんか、I don't know if he's seeing it or if he thinks I'm crazy. It's probably the latter, but...
people think that, you know, wall sockets look like humans. Like...
そういうことじゃないんだよ。それはあれでしょ、もう目と鼻があるやさ。
But the bar, the requirement for something to look like a human is lower than it is for it to look like anything else in the universe. Like, it's so, so low. If you just have like dot, dot,
yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about.
You know, it's...
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
Because you're just partly related.
What you're saying is like, 目と鼻と口があれば、なんかアイスでも、壁のシミでも何でも顔に見えてやつ、それじゃないよ。
No, it is, because we have this, our brain does that. you know.
Yeah, but like my cat always.
And it does that to your cat's face.
They always have eyes and nose and mouth, you know. But it's not that they always look like humans. It's just like sometimes they have this facial, not even an expression, but their face just looks like they're turning into a human or something. Like,
so what does it mean?
I don't know. I can't explain it. Maybe because we live together.
What's your ochi?
Ochi wa nai yo. なんかそういう現象があるっていう話。
次。Okay. Researchers at the Department of Energy Joint Genome Institute and University of Sao Paulo have discovered some 6,000 new species of virus using an artificial intelligence, according to a new article in Nature. The results were presented at a meeting organized by the U.S. Department of Energy on March 15th. Previously, identifying new viruses consisted of searching large DNA databases and sequences for sequences existing in known viruses and bacteria. However, machine learning enables researchers to identify emergent patterns in large data sets and automatically classify data without a specific search sequence. The researchers expect artificial intelligence to discover many more hidden viruses as well as provide insight into the relationship between viruses and bacteria, as well as the relationship between bacteria and proteins in human beings.
Nature に掲載され、先週木曜日にアメリカのエネルギー省主催の会合で紹介された研究で、DOE 共同ゲノム研究所とサンパウロ大学の研究チームが人工知能を使って6000もの新種のウイルスを発見しました。これまで新種であることを確認するためには、膨大な量のウイルスや微生物の DNA 配列と照らし合わせる必要がありましたが、機械学習では配列のパターンを読み取り自動で分類できるため、その必要がなく、新種かどうか素早く知ることができます。チームは今後人工知能を活用してさらに新種のウイルスを発見できるだろうと期待を寄せているほか、ウイルスと微生物の関係性や微生物と人間のタンパク質の関係性などについてもさらに明らかになる可能性があるとしています。
Yep.
6000。今ってウイルス何種類ぐらいあるの？
Like discovered?
分かってる分で。
I don't know. Probably a lot. Probably a lot more than 6,000. But 6,000 is still a lot. But they don't really know how to parse all these viruses. So, you know, there's a lot of viruses that are very similar to each other because they evolve so much. So it's very difficult to quantify, you know, this is a different virus than this virus. And that...The way that we've documented viruses so far has made it difficult with our previous technology to find new viruses because we would be looking for parts of viruses we were already familiar with. Whereas an artificial intelligence can analyze data regardless of any preconceptions of what a DNA sequence should look like in a virus and find emergent patterns, which can later be confirmed by scientists to be either a virus or not. So this is really the long-awaited integration of big data and artificial intelligence. And I think this integration of big data and AI is going to be the most transformative thing this year or perhaps ever.
Right. そうね、なんか何でもこう時短になっていくじゃん。もう何でもスピードアップして、ただこう人工知能を使った時短の幅がすごいよね。こう一気にさ、速くなるじゃん。
Well, the problem is knowing how to implement it. I think the AI itself, theoretically, is possible of solving almost any issue. Even current AI technology could solve many, many, many problems that face us right now. We just haven't solved the implementation issue.And also there's the safety issue as well. But it's absolutely happening, like, right now. And we're gonna see what happens. It's not just viruses.
No.
This, the presentations by these scientists at this conference is largely about the capabilities of AI in the field of metagenomics and getting meaningful information out of otherwise incomprehensible amounts of data. So that was always the problem with big data, you know, is that our intelligence is insufficient and just straight algorithms were also insufficient. So, and there's a lot of things coming out now with, so like Watson is being rolled out in everything. And Watson is IBM's AI that was developed to work independently of the platform or the device. Watson's on the International Space Station, or will be.
Will be.
Watson is being rolled out into a lot of car software and onto people's phones. Apple released something recently for developers, I think, that involves Watson for developers. So, I mean, we have access to Watson. Everyone has access to these tools now. There were some surveys conducted of Fortune 1000 companies, and they wanted to see how many of them were interested in big data and AI. And they found that from a sample of 60 Fortune 1000 companies, 97.2% of them had invested significantly in big data or AI this year or planned to. And this is almost all data analytics companies will be implementing AI this year. Like more than 70% of them will be. Yeah, but it's a lot of power being rolled out in a lot of places, you know. I have hopes that this kind of thing will find aliens.
Yeah.
But the implications for this in like diagnostic medicine and just all over, it's going to be pretty transformative, I think.
See.
A study published March 20th in PLOS Biology by researchers at Cornell University has found that inflammation caused by obesity reduced the number of taste buds in mice. In their experiment, a group of mice fed a high-fat diet, weighed 30% more, and lost 25% of their taste buds versus a control group after 8 weeks. The researchers suggest that the accumulation of adipose, or fat tissue, causes a chronic inflammatory response, disrupting the renewal process for taste bud cells.
今週火曜日にプロスバイオロジーに掲載されたコーネル大学の研究で、肥満によって引き起こされる体内の炎症が味覚の元となる舌の味蕾を大幅に減少させていることが分かりました。実験では脂肪分の多い食事を8週間与えられたネズミは、コントロール群と比較して体重が 30% 増加し、味蕾を 25% 失っていました。チームはこの結果について、脂肪組織が蓄積することで慢性的な炎症が引き起こされ、その結果、味蕾の細胞の代謝が阻害されているのではと述べています。人間のネズミはもちろん違うんだけども、その味蕾の仕組みはほとんど一緒らしいんだよね。だから人間でも同じことが言える可能性は高いですねっていう話だったけど。
Well,other studies on humans that didn't involve counting the exact number of taste bud cells or anything, but have suggested that your sense of taste will be diminished if you become obese. 25%
って結構すごくない?
Yeah, well, if you had 25% less of any other kind of cell, it would be fairly problematic, right?
確かに。そうだね。そうだね。視覚とか。
Yeah.
聴覚とか、
yeah.
確かにね。だからすごい悪いサイクルになっちゃうよね。
I was thinking about that. I almost feel like what's a worse cycle? I mean, if becoming obese caused a 25% increase in taste buds, wouldn't that make food just taste way better and you'd eat even more, or you have to eat more because there's not as much flavor, or how does that?
でも前からさ、肥満の人の方が食事をちゃんとエンジョイしてないって言われるじゃん。
Mm-hmm.
だちゃんとエンジョイしてない、このちっちゃい例えばチョコ1個を全然エンジョイできてないからもっともっとってなっちゃうっていう。わかる？なんかこれを。
I don't know if you can say that that's causal though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, そのサイクルとしては、
mm-hmm.
すごいエンジョイできた方がもっと食べるにはなんないんじゃない？逆にだからってこと。
Hmm. I don't know. If something doesn't taste good, I tend to eat less. Or if I don't enjoy something, like, ah, oh, these biscuits are I'll just have like a couple. But if they're ridiculous, I'll eat the whole box.
Yeah,
they're
but
done.
If you have 20% what? Less taste buds, then it's not like
25.
It doesn't taste good. It's just like you don't feel as much.
Yeah.
So you want to feel more. And in order to feel more, you just have to eat more, no? Ma, 単純に。
I have a hard time thinking that it's really taste related, you know, that you eating more. I mean,
I'm not suggesting that because of this you eat way more. I'm just saying that if there is such a cycle, then it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
That if you lose your taste buds, you end up eating more. Or like you end up eating shitty stuff more.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess. I'm not really
like, I'm
sure.
Not saying that this will get you fatter. I'm just saying that.
It's definitely a bad thing. Whatever its implications are for the cycle.
Yeah.
You know, having 25% less taste buds, I think, is a bad thing.
Mm.
You know, you're enjoying food less.
Yeah.
What you do with that experience, you know, eat more food or eat sweeter food maybe. I mean, I don't think it's maybe not eating more, but you eat sweeter things and that's what the cycle is. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sweeter or fatter? Like,
yeah, like more flavorful things. So if you go
or
to
like more calorie dense.
Generally that's the same thing.
Right.
But if I go to the States right now and I eat meals in the US, the amount of flavor, sauce, seasoning, salt, everything.
味が濃いもんね。
is quite intense and no one's touching vegetables because they're bland.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you have reduced taste buds, you're probably way less likely to eat vegetables, right? It's like I don't really think it's the amount, but rather what the choices that you actually make. Right?
Yeah, I want to know like exactly what it does to you when you lose 25% of your taste. Like, I want to know what actually happens.
I can't believe
you.
That can actually happen.
I know, right? Like 25%, Dayo. It's not just like 2%.
Yeah.
25.
Yeah. Taste buds are weird too. Like, I don't know. I guess you have a certain number of them and.
Ah, so でもそう未来の数も人によって違うって言わない？あの、子供の時にいろんなものを食べるいろんなものを味わっといた方が、あの、未来がちゃんと育つというか成熟するみたいな。
So they learn.
そうそうそう。
So they learn the same way like your, I don't know, your visual cortex learns or your nervous system learns how to control muscles or something.
Yeah. だからこう、うちの私の知り合いでなんか子供の時にあまりお金がなかったからなんかじゃがいもと肉しか食べなかったみたいなアメリカ人の人がいて、その人はもう大人になってもだから肉とじゃがいもしか好きじゃないだよね。なんか他のものを食べてもなんか美味しいと思わないみたいな。まあそれがどこまでもう個人のなんていうのサイコロジカルなさなんか好みの問題なのか未来の問題なのか私は分かんないけど。
How does your brain know what to make the taste thing feel like if you've never tasted something before? It really, you know, the experience that you have if you try sweetie for the first time, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what is this taste? Like, what?
ちょっと待って。
Where did this come
from? ねえ、その例やめて。Sweetie やめて。
ねえ。I was trying to think of something unique.
それも30代しか言わないよ、多分。
Sweetie
ってしかもガムだって、ガムでしょ？
うん。そのガムの味。I don't know what the real thing tastes like. I don't care.
やめて。もうちょっとなんか。
But it's a very unique taste, right?
うん。
If you give someone a piece of...
アボガドとかでいいじゃん。あれもこうなんか説明なかなかしがたい味だもんね。
Yeah. Yeah.
そうね。だからこう、でもやっぱり子供の時好きじゃなかったけど大人になって食べれるようになるものとかもさ、慣れもあるじゃんね。やっぱりこう何回か食べていくうちに、あれなんか最初は変な味と思ったけど、意外と美味しいかもとか。
Do you have experiences like that?
うん、納豆とか。
Oh, really? You didn't like it before?
全然ダメだった。結構大人になるまで納豆もダメだし、あと子供の時はさお刺身好きじゃなかった。けど今すごい好きだけど。
Did you like sushi before? Or you didn't like sushi either?
I didn't like sushi either. だから刺身がダメだから、ダメだったから。だからお寿司屋さん行っても超安かったよ、卵とか。
I still don't like 納豆。
嘘。
You just didn't like it like recently.
でも意外と少ない。でも意外と少ないからさ。
Yeah.
納豆好きじゃないって言うと、まあ日本だとさ、なんでみたいな言われるじゃん。
I can eat 納豆 if it has a lot of shit with it. You know, like a lot of different flavors. But straight, like my mom just opens 納豆 just 納豆 in something just and just eats it. No rice.
I have a tip for you.Start with ひきわり the crushed one、で、ひきわり小粒普通のあるじゃん。普通のはもっと豆がでかい、普通のは一番多分ハードルが高いから、ひきわりから行くといけた。
Really? Because you spend less time chewing? Why is it? What's the advantage?
わかんない。で、それにシソとかちょっと最初入れて、鳴らす。
Oh, I've been eating so much of that 食べるラー油 recently.
Okay.
Do you know the dry one that you like put on rice?
Yes. Oh god. Like, もう全部古いよ。今日どうした？食べるラー油も結構。
Like, I was eating like ボンタメ like this morning. It's so ボンタメ is so good.
うん、わかるよ。
Right?
わかるけど。
It's like the best.
いや、なんかボンタンメとかスウィーティーぐらいレトロになるとまだわかるけど、なんかこの食べるラー油知ってるって2018年にね、人に聞く人いないよ。もう
That's my
heavy rotate
right now. That's my I'm stuck on this 食べるラー油 right now. It's so good.
あ、そう。だからもう、マイケルなんだろう、5年後ぐらいにさ、インスタ映えするお菓子とか買い始める勢いだよ、このままだと。
いや、
やばい。次。
According to a meta-analysis published in the Journal of Sex Research, studies indicate that both partners in a relationship must feel attractive and be attracted to their partner. While it has been known that sexual desire tends to decrease over time, and problems with sexual desire are often linked to problems with the relationship, the factors in maintaining sexual attraction in a long-term relationship remain unclear. The review also found that not being attracted to one's partner resulted in monotony,and routine, and reduced sexual desire. In summary, the research suggests the following in order to maintain sexual desire in a long-term relationship. First, having realistic expectations of sexual desire, maintaining autonomy, actively managing stress, embracing novelty, being egalitarian, and disregarding cultural stereotypes. The full paper is open access and available online.
同じパートナーと長年一緒にいることで相手への性的欲求が減少し問題へ発展することがありますが、相手への性的欲求を保つための要素ははっきりとは分かっていません。今回 Journal of Sex Research に掲載されたイースタンケンタッキー大学の研究で、パートナーへの性的欲求を保つ方法について書かれた記事においてシステマティックレビューを行った結果、それぞれお互いを魅力的だと感じることはもちろん、自分自身を魅力的だと感じている必要があることが分かりました。 研究では長期の関係において性的欲求を保ち続ける要素を以下のように挙げています。性的欲求に関して現実離れした期待値を抱かないこと、主体性を持つこと、ストレスをため込まないこと、新しいことにチャレンジすること、お互い平等でいること、ステレオタイプを捨てること。
Yep.
なるほどね。
So it's helpful to think about I mean, a lot of this is obvious.
当たり前。
Obviously. But it's helpful to think of we'll recognize that attraction isn't just physical attraction, it's emotional attraction. And that's why there's a lot of factors. Obviously, if you're just on Tinder and you're swiping one direction or another, it's a lot more simple. But in a relationship, that attraction depends on a lot of different factors. For emotional attraction, the biggest factors are confidence and attentiveness. So confidence in yourself and attentiveness to the other person are the biggest factors, emotionally at least.
そうね、なんか自分が今セクシーな、セクシーじゃないみたいな時あるじゃん、なんかボロボロの見た目みたいな。
Yeah, you haven't gone to the gym forever and you've been eating garbage and you haven't slept.
そうすると確かにそんなやる気になんないっていうか、その相手の問題じゃなくて、なんか自分がそもそもそういう気分じゃない。
Even if your partner, you know, shows up or comes home and they're just looking like $1,000,000, you know, if you feel like you look like shit,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't matter, you know.
しかもなんかそれは相手がどう思うか気にしてとかいう問題でもなくて、もう自分自身がそもそもなんかそういうスイッチが入ってない。
Yeah, like I'm turning myself off.
yeah. そう、本当にそう、そうだと思う。
Turning yourself off, I think, is a major thing. I think it probably happens more often than someone else turning you off. Because people are pretty careful not to turn off the other person. But it's very easy to turn yourself off.
そうだね、確かにね。
Right.
それあんまりこう指摘されないよね。まあ、あとはこのエガリタリアン的な、そのお互い平等であって尊敬できる。っていうんじゃないとやりたくなくなるよね。シンプルに。だからこう、まあ今さ、ツイッターでもあの何、産後クライシスとか、うちのインティライミとかさ、ハッシュタグすごい流行ってるんだけど、あのまあ要は旦那さんが全然家事をやらないとか、子育てに全然参加しないとか、あの共働きなのにみたいな状況がよくあって、まあ、そういう風になるともちろんこう相手のこと尊敬できないからセックスレスにもなり、そうするとオキシトシンも出ないから、より相手のことを嫌いになるというかさ、キャッて思う瞬間が1ミリもないまま何年も過ぎるみたいな。
Well, it's the attentiveness thing, right? Because they don't, this person is just obliviousThey just keep not doing these certain things, and they've been told so many times, and then you have the monotony problem, you know. And I think monotony in general is problematic in a relationship, but something that is both negative and monotonous is next level problematic in a relationship. It's like this problem...is boring.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not even an interesting problem.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just becomes excruciating.
そうね。
But the monotony and the, they use the word institutionalization, which I thought was interesting, but the idea that relationships can become institutionalized, kind of established.
Sad. Don't say that.
But it's kind of like, it's run like an institution, you know? And the problem with institutionalizing a relationship is while it can be, it can seem efficient, it lacks the spontaneity and the novelty that's required, that sexual attraction requires. The sexual part is not entertained by this,institutionalized relationship, you know, it's It has to be exciting and maybe even dangerous or something, you know? Something has to be stimulating.
But then at the same time, この1個目に書いてるみたいに、realistic expectation っていうのも結構大事だと思う。なんかその、it has to be exciting, it has to be, you know, spontaneous とか思いすぎてても、逆に現実のギャップで苦しむことになるじゃん。Because it's like, if you're married and if you live together for years...then it's like, you know.
But you could also unrealistically expect to be able to institutionalize the relationship when the other person doesn't want that.
Ah, まあね、まあその二人のは同じページじゃないとダメだけど。だからやっぱ旅行はいいよね。
Yeah.
旅行はいいと思う。なんか。
Well, you pointed out this article about living overseas or spending time overseas can help you identify a sense of self.
Yeah.
But I think that's also can be done as a couple.
So that
when two people as a couple go travel somewhere, it's like, let's see what we've really got. Are we gonna, you know, argue with each other and go down in flames? Or are we gonna have a good time? Or like, let's see, because there's, you know, all the other shit we left back over there. It's just us, and now we're in this other place.
Yeah.
And there's things that we're trying to do. And
yeah, and for me, it's like, you know, I feel, I mean, I do feel like a team, even in Tokyo, but like, it's like a team, just two of us in somewhere else, like some foreign country. Like, it's just two of us.
And it's not monotonous at all.
And everyone else is like strangers, so.
Every second of that is novel, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of deal with the monotony risk by traveling.
そうだね。だからセックスとかもそうじゃない。なんか違う場所に行って違うベッドとかさ、なんかそれだけでも全然盛り上がるじゃん。
Yeah, not just a variety of positions, but different time of day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Different pillows.
Different places, different.
Yeah.
Something has to be different, right? Otherwise, it feels like a memory. It's like, am I just remembering this, or are we, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
そうだね。
I think a lot of these issues actually flow into the monotony problem.
I'm kind of so like, まあ自分は結婚に対してそんななんかなんていうんだろう、キラキラしたフラフなイメージがなかったから、逆になんか I'm kind of I sometimes find myself like waiting.For, like, not like for it to fall apart, but like for it to kind of get boring or like start hating each other or like, do you know what I mean?
Well, one of those would happen before it fell apart, right?
Yeah, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not expecting it. I just feel like, なんて言うんだろう、無意識になんかそうなるんじゃないか。
You just have this unwarranted feeling of surprise at the lack of relationship catastrophe as you as you're moving forward. It's like,
yeah. So.
Wow, this is actually working.
So.
No way.
本当にそう。で、それは相手がどうとか自分がどうとか関係なくて、勝手な自分の結婚へのイメージが多分なんかあんまり良くないから、なんかこう勝手に悪い風になる。なんかどうせ、何十年も経ったらなんかお互い嫌いになったりするのかなとかさ、でもそれが起きないから、今本当マイケルがまさに言ったように、なんか Oh wow
<Yeah,
S
1>
なんか Oh wow, we're still like happy.
But somewhere hidden behind you is thisYou have this huge, like, oh, yeah, buddy, feeling. It's like it will immediately be said when something happens. You know, if something happened.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You would be less surprised by something happening than you are consistently surprised every day by the fact that it's actually working, right? And you kind of position yourself as like psychological insurance in this place.
Yeah.
You know?
So
you have this suspended disbelief.At how well things are going.
Yeah.
You're so ready to be like, I knew it was a disaster. but you're so relieved that you never have to bring that out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You never have to be that disappointed. You're so ready to be that disappointed, yeah. right? But yeah. you don't have to. And that's like mind blowing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 本当にその通り。
Yeah,
and it's a strange feeling. You know, it's like, oh, wow, it's working. Mm. It's working. We've been together for 5 years and, you know, we're still like really nice to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're happy together. And that's, to me, that's kind of like, oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Like how, you know.
You want it to be kind of reality defying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that element of your relationship probably keeps it from getting too monotonous, right? Just the being on the edge. You don't want to be in a relationship where you're so comfortable, like, oh yeah, whatever. Like, yeah, we're, you know, it's just,
yeah, yeah.
It's just so set.
Yeah.
And it's so routine.
Yeah.
Like, there's no possibility of disaster, but there's no possibility of a miracle either.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that even when, maybe for other people in our situation, maybe people could feel like that. Like, oh, this is like such a safe relationship, like no drama, you know, very yeah. stable. But then...
You think it's naive.
Well, or I think I know that that's an illusion. Like, it can just change overnight. It can just, you know, get destroyed in a second. So maybe that helps in a way. I don't know.
Well, what I think helps is not only to have that intuition, but to also realize that it could be you. Like, you could be the one that sabotages the whole thing. Like, you could be the one that people spend a lot of time worrying about their partner, and then it turns out they fuck up the relationship and regret it. Right? Because they're so like, oh, this person, you know, they're so critical of their partner that they start to rationalize bad behaviors on their own behalf, right? And then they get themselves into more trouble than they than they wanted.
Yeah, maybe.
So I think self-awareness, I mean, if you do the best you can, I mean, everything else is kind of outside of your control,
that's true.
Right?
That's true. Yeah. なんだっけ、文字起こしのテキストは文字起こしのテキストは Android、iPhone、iPad、Mac から、バイリンガルニュース公式アプリでチェックできますので試してみてください。最初の1話目から3話目は無料で、月額240円で全部のテキスト読み放題という激安プランもありますので、あとね、単語テスト機能とかもろもろ。
The update's not out yet. It's like one of those loading bars that
right.
I'm done trying to put a date on it, but it should be out fairly soon.
あと Instagram、Twitter、Facebook もやってるので、ぜひフォローお願いします。
お願いします。
終わり。
以上です。
はい。
はい。